بہارِ مدینہ کے سب جنتیں ہیں نثارِ مدینہ 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 ہمارا مدینہ چلو مل کے کرتے ہیں ذکر مدینہ بولو مدینہ مدینہ ہمارا مدینہ چلو مل کے کرتے ہیں ذکر مدینہ چلو مل کے کرتے ہیں ذکر مدینہ چلو مل کے کرتے ہیں ذکر مدینہ
مرکز صحابہ The Voice of اہل سنہ والجماعہ.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 4th of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1446, corresponding with the 3rd of May, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we just completed our segment related to Palestine and the Yahud. We will now be getting into our next segment called Straight Talk with Brother Ahmad Parak, Hafizahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alan asala to all our radio listeners, Molana. I think winter has come in early from this year. It seems like it is already here. I think we need to start taking our heavy jacket, General. I think it is going to be a very severe winter from the looks of it, Molana.
Yeah, most certainly. I had to use a jacket and come to the studio this morning. Usually, jacket is unnecessary and inconvenient, but this morning I couldn't leave the house without putting on a jacket. Now, regarding our kafan and dafan issues, is there any new developments?
Molana, although it's a long weekend, Alhamdulillah, we didn't have any major incident on the road or anything like that. There's no issues in terms of post-mortem or anything like that. Alhamdulillah, it's been quiet so far for the last couple of months. Inshallah, Allah make it easy. Keep it like that, Molana.
Inshallah. Now, one of the issues that was topical during this week is that notice that went out that people from certain areas, including, you know, the Overport and areas surrounding, should boil their water before drinking. And the story that's going around among members of the public is that sewer water got mixed with the drinking water. Is there any truth to this?
Molana, that what information you receive and it has come from Itigwini municipality from water and sanitation is 100% correct. The issue was very, very simple. When they were repairing the normal water pipes that is happening every day, every week in our city, because of the pipes are getting, the pipes are burst. Pipes, when they're going to do a repair, unfortunately, and you know, because of the shortage of the TLBs we got in the city, now some of these contracts have to be done in the evening. And what happened when they were digging, they didn't realize there was a stormwater pipe next to the normal drinking water pipe. So what happened, that pipe actually burst, the normal pipe of the water, drinking water at the Rosu pipe burst. So So that's where your problem has come, and it has mixed the good and the bad water together. That's where the problem was. It was for about plus minus 3-4 days to get that thing sorted out. But then we had to take precaution that whoever is drinking water from this area, especially the Priya Wash Road area, that's where the incident happened. They had to just make sure they drink the before they drink the water, it has to be boiled thoroughly before they drink the water. That was the main issue in terms of what actually happened in that area. And I've got first-hand information regarding this, you know, to make sure we verify this information, because it was went viral and people were really panicking, and some of the people couldn't afford it. They had to go and buy drinking water from the supermarket and all that. It cost them money as well. So it was only a selected area in that reservoir, in that area. So we have worked, the council has worked throughout the night to make sure that this happened. And every hour they were actually taking the making sure to do the test. And eventually, as of yesterday, the test was 100% all clear. So it's okay, back to normal now, because they did say in the last bulletin was sent yesterday within 48 hours. But from my information, it has been cleared. But I think we need to take another day's precaution as well, because they keep doing the test every hour, every day on an hourly basis. So once that has been 100%, a bulletin will be coming out shortly from the council. So I think it will be okay, Malala.
Now, you know, whether it is subcontractors or contractor or municipality employees, prior to taking on a job, aren't they, you know, briefed about the plan of that area, that listen, we've got this pipe and that pipe, so be very careful when you're working on this pipeline, so you don't go and damage another pipeline?
Malana, before they even put a TLB to go and dig in an area, an engineer actually goes out and sees the place. What, because if you have a major blockage or anything like what we had here, because they tried for the last 2 days, they couldn't come right, and eventually they had to get a TLB to assist them to dig deeper, and through that line they had to dig quite a bit. Now, based on that, the engineer actually gives a report to the water and sanitation to say, this is where the problem is, this is what they have to do. But, you know, when it comes to subcontractors, now this is where our biggest problem is, and I'm being totally against it. I'm still saying that the city needs to employ all these artisans and have an engineer, a couple of engineers in each department, so we can sort the city out quick as possible. This water issue, as you know, is not going to be going to be repaired in the next year, next month. It will be from now right up to 2032. As you know, Ramaphosa is involved in this. The president is involved in this issue of the city because of the complaints we have from the city regarding this water issue. Fortunately, alhamdulillah, we must make sure that we had a lot of rains. Our dams are overflowing at the moment, and people in Fairlam are affected because of the dams are so full. If they open those dams up, a lot of people's houses are actually going to be washed away in the next couple of days too. So that is the plan there. They are looking at it at the moment. They don't know where to move at the moment, so the engineers are busy working with that as well. So we are fortunate we got enough water for now. But the problem is we don't have the right artisan, the right engineers that were there at the city who knows the system properly backwards. They know what to do about the water problem, and they are no more longer there, and just giving out to this subcontractor. That is the biggest problem that we have been faced with, and that's why we are insisting, my party is insisting, to bring back all and have an in-house plumbing department, electrician, all departments, what they had in previously, to bring them back and make sure that we have a fully fledged team that can, who knows what to do, instead of giving this work, outsourcing this work. And when we give it outsourced, it's costing us 4 or 5 times more than what we're supposed to be doing it in-house. That's the problem.
Most certainly, you know, in the apartheid era, they were all in-house workers, and we didn't have such problems.
Because Maulana, at that time, they knew the system, they knew the plan, how it was done, where the problem, and if they found a problem, within a couple of hours, the problem was solved. Now, they're giving it to the subcontractors. Maulana, that subcontractor is giving it to another subcontractor. They don't know after tomorrow how the city works, where the electrical lines run. In fact, I'll give you one incident, what happened in Westville Pavilion. The guy went to actually go with his TLB to go and dig up for an electrical fault. Fortunately, one of the top engineers of the city was where he lived in Westville, and he saw what this guy was doing. So he stopped there, and he stopped this guy to start digging. He says, you know what? What will happen? You'll lose your life, and the whole, even the prison and the shopping center, the whole of Westville will not have power because of what you are doing. So he had to call his supervisor. He'd been arguing with this engineer. He says, no, you know, I've been mandated to open this thing up and all. So they had to eventually bring the supervisor, the owner of the contractor, and tell him, you know what, you need to go and check this plan up before you guys digging up here. So this is what happens actually, Maulana.
Yeah, that is what happens when people are put to work on something they have no knowledge to. It's like the same thing as, you know, you're going to one doctor all your life and suddenly you switch doctors. Or you go to one motor mechanic all your life and suddenly you switch motor mechanics. You know, they don't know your history.
That is the biggest problem that the city is facing. But inshallah, we are fighting to make sure we bring in-house, our own in-house electricians, plumbers, artisans, bring them in. And I think we will get the city right, inshallah.
Inshallah. Now, coming to the debt of municipality workers, you know, their debt has grown by close to 6 million in the last 3 months, and is now standing at approximately 80 million between January and March this year. The report indicates that staff debt increase from about 74 million to 80 million in 3 months. Now the question arises, you know, if this was ordinary citizens and not municipality workers, their services should have been terminated. Why wasn't services rendered to these people terminated before the debt reached such an astronomical figure?
Maulana, first and foremost, the city employs 25,000 people or 25,000 workers. 80 million of this is the debt from the... Some of them are councillors, top councillors. Some of them are sitting in Exco. Some of them are sitting in high position in council, and their debt is gone up drastically. It has come before to us last year as well. The rule is the Municipal System Act makes it very, very clear regarding all councillors. There's a councillor's handbook that what you have to go through. If you're owing the city money, that you must make proper arrangement and do an application for your debt. How are you going to pay your debt? They used the system up to, it was October, November, and December, the 3 months concession we had last year. Some of them used the concession and some of them did not use it. That's where the debt has gone up to about 80 million. They had the privilege to write off all the interest and 15% if they paid it upfront, or they can write up the interest and get it under 36 months. But they are so clever, Maulana, you won't believe. They can teach you, me, and you know, you can bring the best accountants in the country, a CA, chartered accountant. accountant and auditor. They got their ways. Now this whole debt issue here, you're looking at 80 million. They are so sharp in this. There's a concession that's coming before council in May, the council meeting, where the council is saying at the moment the whole city and the community is suffering at the moment. We are prepared to give you up to 40 to 50% providing on your light, rates, and electricity. We will be able to give you between 40 and 50, including all your interest. We'll do a complete write-off up to 50%, providing you pay the full amount. Say if you owing 10,000 rand, we will write off 5,000 rand immediately. You come to the council's office, you sign the documentation, you pay, you do the EFT, and your debt is cleaned up. So that is one of the concessions that is at our disposal. And if you cannot afford it to pay the full amount, then there will be a scale with between from the 50 coming down to 40, 30, 20, 10. It'll give you, you can only wipe out the interest, and they might be able to write off about 10 to 15%. Then you can do it over 12, 24, or 36 months, providing you sign an acknowledgement of debt with the city debt. And this is where our guys, all these guys are with the 80 million rand outstanding. They're waiting for this thing to kick in, because in terms of the handbook of the councillors and the municipal workers, you have to make arrangement and pay your debt. Like how SARS is. As soon as you don't pay SARS, SARS can come to council and tell council, so-and-so councillor is owing me 15,000 rand. We're bringing an order. You need to deduct. And that's one letter, and every month his salary is deducted by 3,000 or 4,000 rand or something. Unless you, before you went to SARS and told SARS, I owe you this 15K, but there's a settlement agreement I'm making with you. You can, they will say, okay, fine. We'll deduct, send a letter to council, to treasury. They will be able to deduct that money. So that's where the problem is. Now, the city and the treasury, that's where they are forced at the moment. It was their duty to make sure that the councillors and the workers of the municipality don't fall into debt, because in terms of the Municipal System Act, as well as the councillors, if the councillor is in debt, there's a handbook, it governs you how the monies must be deducted. And they haven't done this for us.
Now, the challenges of defaulting employees have been an ongoing issue for the municipality. It's not something that, you know, just started recently. The Mercury reported last year on the extent of the problem, highlighting that senior managers, even those at executive levels, owed the municipality rates and services. Now, this gives the members of the public the impression that the law that applies to municipality workers differs from the law that applies to the general public. Municipality workers are favored. This is what the general public, you know, the impression that they get when they read like this.
Manana, the community has got all the rights to jump. If a councillor or a senior executive or a worker from the council is owing the money, he must be treated just like everybody else, as any other consumer, because he's using the facility of the city. Now, the provision, it makes it very, very clear on this. The Act makes it very, very clear that the deduction should be brought up. Now, the city treasury has not done the deduction. That's where our problem is. Now, there's nothing much can be done. Yes, the consumer and the community will jump from the outside. And now, the big problem is, some of these opposition parties are not making big noise, Molana. They're also living in Westville, Amslanga, Belito, and all. They're owing money to the council. Now, this is where we're going to be exposing. This coming week, you will see a lot of tamasha happening in the media, because we want to expose them. because they are jumping for everything else. But yet, when the city needs the money, why should we be going and looking for money when there is money there? Where we're looking for, we short of 79 billion in the country when there's so much of money outstanding. Now we are writing off because people cannot pay. We're giving them concession and everything else. There's so much of money. There's money that we return back to the national treasury because they didn't use. In the last year, 2024, we sent something like about 8 billion back to the city treasury because they couldn't do a proper feasibility and a plan where that money should be. Because what they do, national sends the money into the various councils as the aid in grant. When they send the grant in, they didn't do anything about it. You got a specific time to use that money, and if you don't use that money goes back. So we lose money that way too. So the system in our council is not moving fast enough to make sure that we don't lose all this money. The systems must be put in place. Yes, one thing I can assure you, as we speak, they're working 7 days a week, Monday to Sunday and overtime. There are IT specialists from India, you know, like the guys who does work for Bill Gates and all overseas. Those are the guys I hear at the moment, training our people and put a new system. You don't even have to go to your house to do the meter reading. We'll be able to read it from the office, from the Itigiri Municipal Office with the new smart meters. So they are going in the right direction, but they are teaching at the moment as we speak. Today is Saturday, Sunday. They are working Monday to Sunday. I think they will finish towards the middle of May or end of May. They will leave the Itigiri Municipal Office. And they are contractors for 5 years. They will be with us at the city to make sure the system don't break or anything. So these guys will go way back to India. We got a problem. They say, no, system is out of order. They say, no. We said, no. If you put in a system, state-of-the-art system, we bring in, they must be here 24/7. So the system, they know it backwards. They train our own people. They must know. So nobody can come and say to us, the system is not working.
Something else that appeared in the article in the Mercury. Furthermore, the staff members in arrears for more than 90 days are subject to salary deductions. Although this is an effective tool for collecting from staff in arrears, the salary deduction is limited to 25% of net salary, which is sometimes insufficient to cover the amount owed, hence the continuous increase in staff debtors. Now the question arises, if 25% deduction from the net salary is not having the desired effect, why isn't it increased?
That is the big issue, because now you have to bring it before full council to change the municipal system act to bring additional, to make it to 30% or 35%. But you can see they're owing like 50% and 50% and over. They are very sharp in this thing. They are waiting coming May, because they know now this thing has blown out of proportion. It's in social media, it's in the media, mainstream media. Now when come May, before the full council, this agreement, when it's going to get passed, they all want to come. They'll say, okay, fine. Instead of you taking 25%, take our 50%. We're writing off the 50%. The guy is owing 10,000. He's happy. His debt is clean. He doesn't owe the city any money. He's happy. And Bob's my uncle. That's what's going to happen now. And we know this is what they want to do. We exactly know what they're waiting. And the if you're owing in terms of that policy that we bring in May to the full council, you must be in areas for 90 days. You mustn't be a current account. So you got, say now you paid up your March account and April account, you paid it up. You can't come to us where you see this new policy came into effect for 60 days. You say, no, my account changed to 13,000 rand, I want 50%. No, we won't give you that. But if it was in 90 days in arrears, then you qualify to get the 40% discount on your colleague. So they are waiting. That's why you'll see they leave it. They're making sure. This thing they knew sometime in November, December, this policy is going to be kicking in shortly. So they've been waiting for them to get it. Come into full council. Once it's been passed, they will qualify because they're saying, you know what, if the consumer can qualify, we also a consumer of the city. It is life, water, and rate, electricity. So we need that 50%, and they will do the write-off for them.
Now, one of the councillors mentioned these are tight economic times and everyone is facing difficulties. This should also speak to the tariffs that are coming in the next financial year. And maybe we ought to align ourselves not to increase those tariffs in the light of the kind of scenarios we are seeing at the moment. He said if Eskom offered electricity directly to consumers, they would pay much less. Now, can the public use this as an argument against double-digit tariffs and threaten non-payment of rates until these debts are recovered?
Molana, for many years, from the apartheid arena, Eskom is an entity of itself, its own entity. It sells to various municipalities the power that what is required in South Africa, in the city, or the municipality, or any government entity itself. So when you buy, you're buying from Eskom, so there is a tariff. Now, because of, you will see, now you don't blame, we are against any tariff increase because we voted for every tariff increase for the budget, we voted against. We don't want any increases because they say, why should we repay and get an increase in our tariffs when the city is not doing anything for us and we're paying rates and tax, we're not getting value for our money. So that's where my party stood very, very firmly. Secondly, when you're buying from Eskom, we're paying Eskom forward. And then there's a small markup they put for the administration, for giving you the power. That's where the problem. The other main factor, you know, all of our, even with Eskom, all the systems were broken totally. We were fortunate in the last year, we came out of our rut a little bit. When we started buying from Mozambique power to bring us online while our power stations were getting repaired and bring them up to date. And that's where we are today. So you're not getting so much of load sharing what you previously used to get. So that's where the problem is. So now then we're looking for money to make sure that we get enough revenue so they can fix the power station so that you will be able to get power in your houses and businesses and everything. So that's where the issue is. Now, if you don't get that thing, if he can't sell, cannot supply you, how are you going to get power? That is the problem. So either, whichever way you look at it, we're in a catch-22. You're right that people say, why don't we go direct to Eskom and let Eskom bill us? You came back to square one. People are using solar panels at the moment. The city is putting a dome and it's going to catch you up anyway. Because in terms of the act, you still have to register those panels into our system as well. So either way, it's coming because we left most of the people that became self-sufficient. They're saying, you know what, we had enough with the city. We got big, big companies. We got big, big industries. We got beautiful houses, but we don't have electricity and we have a problem with water. So most of them put borehole water, they put big, huge generators, most of them have now put the solar and they're using it from the grid Someday grid with battery operated, and they give them power full. Everything works there. The fridges work, the air conditioners work, and all. They got enough power. In fact, they can supply the city at the moment, because that's how much power is being generated through solar at the moment. So the problem is the city is going to come hard on them, and they're going to come hard on all the people that is using borehole water as well, because when you put a borehole, you need to put a meter as well. If you put a solar, you must have a system, a meter being put there. Council wants to know how much of solar you're using, because end of the day, they have got their own infrastructure put in place. So now is causing a problem for them as well. So that is a debatable thing that is going to still come before council and everything else. It's the water and the electricity issue. It will come before council. If we want to debate this thing, it's going to be a long story, because we say you couldn't bring it. That's the reason the guys had to do whatever they had to do. That's where the problem is.
Now, you'll get people from Itikweni saying, in Cape Town, the municipality is going to pay people for electricity, and here you'll want to charge us. How are they going to justify this question of the public?
See, in Cape Town, because what Cape Town done is, they allowed it, they opened it up. And each municipality has got its own constitution, and they allowed to do amendments to the city's system act and all that. So maybe they have changed the system to say, okay, fine, we will allow you to go and put your solar, and whatever excess you got, you give it to us. We will, obviously, there's a special rate below the normal rate, and they buy it from them. So they got enough power to generate for the whole of Cape Town. And that's what they've been smart in that sense, because at the end of the day, they opened it up. But later on, what happens, we can't say. Who's running the city there? They're like chameleons. They change. Overnight, they will change.
Okay, Jazakumullah for your valuable contribution this morning. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you in both this world and the Akhirah, and grant you success in your quest for a better life for the people of this city of Itikweni, or the people of the KZN in general and the country. Inshallah. And you will get the podcast during the course of the day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
That was Brother Ahmad Parak, who is a local councillor, discussing our political issues locally. And of course, he is also in charge of or plays a major role regarding the burial services in the city.